Welcome in to the weekly Parsha podcast as we embark on this journey together of Sefer Devarim, the English translation, one of my favorite words, Deuteronomy, in which we will be privy to perhaps the greatest drasha ever given, someone who the Shechina, the Almighty's presence, would speak from his esophagus, every word of Sefer Devarim divine. And it's interesting to pick up and notice on which episodes Moshe Rabbeinu chose to highlight, which he chose to go into depth and be mevarer, clarify Klal Yisrael's actions, to give subtle rebuke, sometimes not so subtle rebuke, special encouragement. We're going to have the handing off of the baton from the mantle of leadership being given from Moshe Rabbeinu to his main disciple, Yehoshua. We're going to be able to feel the emotion of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mirtz Hashem and the parashos of Eschana and Akev and Re'eh, in which we're going to hear the parashos of Shema and what Hashem truly asks from us. And, you know, it's not bad for someone who described himself as being tongue-tied when he was just traveling to go speak to Paro in his house. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu had a koyved peh, he had a heavy mouth, whatever that means, some sort of speech impediment. But here, there is very little impediment. There is clarity, and it is the Sefer that the Altar of Kelm, speaking of Sefer Devarim here, that the Altar of Kelm called the Book of Musar Musarim, the ultimate and pinnacle Book of Musar. And here, this week, at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, we have one of those prime examples of one of the lessons that Rabbi Yerucham revisited every year. A lesson that is what the Rambam calls what the fools overlook and what the scholars know. And it's an idea that if we can bring to life, if with the Almighty's help we can clarify the topic, we can really try to take it from koach to po'il, well then the fruits will then, God willing, be bursting forth. And without further ado, let us jump in. Sefer Devarim begins with five psukim that seem to not really stick out any more than a white shirt, black pants wearing yeshiva bacher in the middle of Beis Medrash Gavoa on a Thursday afternoon, which is to say that it shouldn't and doesn't stick out very much at all. It's psukim all about Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Jewish people, telling his flock, his holy flock, about different places that they went, different places that they wandered in the wilderness. Eila ha-devarim, these are the words, asher dibir Moshe el kol Yisrael, be'eva ha-yarda ba'mid bar-barava, molsov bein paran, beinu bein toivel ve'lava, mechatzeroiz v'dizahav. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel on the other side of the Jordan, concerning the wilderness, concerning the Arava, opposite of the Sea of Reeds, Pasuk Beis, 11 days from Chorev, by the way of Mount Seir, to Kadesh Barnea. But when you hear what Rashi has to say, when you read the Gemaras, when you see all of the Rishonim, you'll see that there is such depth here. And in fact, these psukim are not even an introduction to the Sefer. They are, perhaps, the thesis statement for all of Sefer Devarim. Each word so weighty, each word veiled rebuke, hidden criticism. Really, it's a masterclass in how to give tochacha, to give rebuke to someone. Moshe Rabbeinu has three different tana'im, three different stipulations that he must make sure that he takes care of before he mentions anything that may be considered critique. And just to give you a flavor of what the veiled critique was, when the pasuk says it was Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Molsuf, Bein Paran, Ubein Tovel, Velavon, Vachatiros, Vedizahav, Rashi says, what does it mean Bamidbar? Moshe was referring to the sins done when they made God angry in the Midbar. We want to have more food. We want to go back to Egypt. Ba'arava was a mentioning of Bishpil Ha'arava Shechatu Ba'al Pa'or, the sins of the idolatry and the sins that we did in Shittim and in Arvos Moav. And when Moshe referenced the reeds, the Mo'ol Suf, the Sea of Reeds, that was on the fact there was critique there for when the Jewish people said, is there no graves? Are there no graves for us to be buried back in Egypt? Complaining. Bein paranu bein toivav alavon. That was when the Jewish people said, Hechichan al hadvarim shenafu al haman, that they wanted not man, they wanted more food, and it was really referring to lavon, which is white, and the man was white. So here we see how the hidden messages, and how Moshe subtly was able to deliver his points. And the one we will focus on today is the last two words of the first pasuk of Devarim. Moshe told them, and lastly, Vidi Zahav. And when we went, when we were in, regarding the episode of Di Zahav, says Rashi, and every word is of utmost importance. Hochichan al ha'egel, he was giving them rebuke about the episode of the golden calf. It seems to be living in the fact that Moshe referenced gold, Zahav. Sha'asu, and why did the Jewish people do this sin? They did it bishvil rov zahav, because of the surplus of gold shahaya lahem that they had. Shenemar, as the verse says in Hosea 2:10, vekesef herbasi, and silver I increased la for them, vizahav, and gold asu labaal, and gold they made into, they fashioned into an idol. Now, here we go. Let us build this idea. So Moshe Rabbeinu is referencing the sin of the golden calf. And there's a Gemara in Brachos, Daf 32a, where the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was hiti'ach devarim kalpe maila. Moshe Rabbeinu would throw his words up to heaven. He would pray for the Jewish people to save them. And he told Hashem, v'omar, v'dai zahav. It's enough gold. This is at the moment in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to annihilate the Jewish people because of their sin of the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to bat for the Jewish people. And he fought back with Hashem. And he said, Hashem, don't destroy them. And you know why? Because it wasn't the Jewish people's fault that we sinned with the golden calf. You know what he said? You could shudder as you hear these words. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, it's your fault that this happened, because you gave them gold when they were at the banks of the river, when the Mitzrim, when the Egyptians had died, and you gave the Jewish people access to all of their gold, and as they amassed such gold, such silver, such wealth, who garam? You caused She'asu es ha'egel to do this sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to Moshe. The Jewish people were saved. There's actually a famous idea here from Rav Dessler about having a great person go to bat for the Jewish people, but that's neither here nor there. But there's something even greater than this. These words, Vidi Zahav, that saved the Jewish people, that there's enough gold, meaning it's not our fault, Hashem. It's just we had too much. We were too rich. And what else was expected? Well, there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that there is a parable that this episode can be likened to. Mashal lemelech. This is a parable of a king, because all good Jewish mishalim normally seem to have a king. Mashal lemelech shehirchet etz beno. A father, a king that rinsed off his son. He cleaned up his young son. V'hilabishu. And he bought him this fancy tuxedo. He got him all dressed up. Begadim noim, in beautiful clothes. V'he'echiluhu. He fed him. He fattened him up. He made him full and feel very satiated. V'hishkuhu, gave him to drink. V'tolo loikis bitzavaro, and put money around his neck. In modern times, that can be likened to a black credit card, an unlimited limit. You can buy anything that you want. And he took his son, v'he'emidu lifnei pesach beis hazoinis, and he put him right outside on the steps of the house of the harlots, as if to say, leave him on the strip in Las Vegas. Ma ya'aseh ha'ben shelo yecheta. What should the son do that he should not sin? Ro'u anu mikan. We see something absolutely astonishing from here. When Chazal seek to define a sin, to get into why it happened, the Egel Hazav. Why did this sin happen? We see a yesoid and a chiddush gadol. It's not like we normally think that the sin happened for we made a bad decision, poor judgment. No, but it was all because we were showered, we were bathed, we were fed, we drank, we had the money, and the sin afterwards, the actual outcome of the event, the Egel Hazav, the idolatry. That seems to happen later on. It's begeder. It's as if, ma ya'aseh haben shelo yecheta. Well, what do you expect from the kid? What should the child do that he should not sin? And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem to get the Jewish people off the hook. They were so rich. They had so much gold. Chazal, with their glasses, with their ruchniistic glasses, they show us the ikker sibas hachet. What really caused the sin was much time before the actual occurrence of the sin. It was od rochok harbe me'achet. And the sin was actually done with things that were entirely mutter. Chazal have a bigger problem with the eating and the drinking and the unlimited credit card. That's where they focus their attention. And even more, bowing down to idols and dancing horas around a golden calf. The sin? Midi dimimela. That's just an outcome of what's already happened. That's begeder ma'yaseh haben. Shelo yecheta. See, this is the concept for today. This is the idea that is overlooked. Sins and mitzvos, they have a haschala. There's a beginning. There's a reason why. There's a hachana. There's an introduction. And where most individuals, when they want to embark on something, they want to do a mitzvah, they, God forbid, fall into sin, the attention is on the actual item, the mitzvah, the avera, the sin, whatever it is. But the truth, Chazal care much more about the haschala of it. What was the action that led this to be the outcome of what transpired? Says Rabbi Yerucham, Hare bohem toli kol iker avoidas ha'adam. We see that Chazal, they spent all of their time highlighting the introduction. It is therefore the first step. Therefore, it is our avoda to be involved. Lahaz here. To be very scrupulous. Behas cholos. With our first step. With the beginning. Vehakdamos. In our introductions. And what is the lead up to an event. Asher lachatoim to sins. The truth, often the haschola of a sin is something that's totally mutter. The shower seems to be worse in Chazal's eyes than the dancing around the Egel Hazav. And listen to this Rambam in Moira Nevuchim. You'll find it in the first shower in Lamed Dalid, that there is one essential or most common reason that people do not acquire wisdom. Quote, She'achas min hasibos, shemona'as es rov ha'olam, mehasogas ha'chochma. This is one of the reasons that most of the world is held back from acquiring wisdom. Hu mashech chosar lohem ha'akdamos. They are missing the prerequisites. They are missing the haschala. Hatzrichos that are needed lehasogas ha'chochma, to understand wisdom. Ki ha'chachema, for wisdom, ka'liknoisa, is very easy to acquire. Ach, tzorech mikodem liknos, yet before this, one must acquire ha'kadmoseha, its first things, its introductions. V'ha'chasilim, the fools, soinim ha'kdamois, they hate the first things, they hate all the paperwork at the beginning. V'roitzim, and they want rakes ha'ikr. Give me the main stuff. I want the real chachma. They jump right in. In the world of chachma, in the world of mitzvos, there are introductions. There are haschalos. The haschala is what holds the key. It's as if we're trying to run before we walk. You're trying to do something that's pashut, is obviously impossible without the necessary introduction and beginning. Hayoitzelonu. It comes out from here, Mizeh Yesoid Godel. We have a tremendous foundational and principal idea in our service to the Almighty, Be'inyan, on the topic of Haschala, of the initial step, the beginning of anything. She'iker hakol toloi ach v'rak b'haschala. The entire thing is totally dependent on our Haschala, on the introduction needed, on the first step needed for this event to be a success, and whether it's for good or whether it's for bad. And you should know that every single mitzvah has a haschala. We tend to think, or kind of we just get stuck in the lull of our routines, where it's one thing leads into the next, and we daven a shachar, we daven a mincha, we have a night seder, we daven some ma'ariv, oh, it's sukkah, so we do this mitzvah. Everything kind of gets kind of mashed into each other. It turns into one big chalent of mitzvos. But each of the 613 that we have the merit to fulfill has a haschala to it, a beginning. And the haschala, more important than the actual mitzvah. It's where everything lives. That's where our focus needs to be. The Mishnah, it tells us in Masechta Avos, chapter 4, Mishnah 2, have a rotzla mitzvah kala, run towards a mitzvah. And Rabbi Yerucham is medayik, and if you see the commentary there, it's so beautiful and it sings like a song that the most important thing that we can be doing is to run towards a mitzvah. That's the introduction. In fact, Shulchan Aruch tells us we should be running as we are in proximity close to the Beis HaKnesses to Shul. You should start to run. That's the introduction to the mitzvah. Think back to the times that you truly had a good Seder, a good session of Torah study. And then think about how it was that you got there. What were the initial hachonos, preparations that you made for that? I know for myself that any time that I've seen any hatzlacha in Torah study, I have a picture in my head that I probably showed up at my desk with a big, fat, delicious coffee, some caffeine, the AC I made sure was going to be good. I knew that I needed certain gemara, so I brought them. I set them up. I made sure that I took care of any sort of something that might nag at my brain before I sat down to learn. I made sure that I would use the restroom before so it wouldn't be mevatel what I was going to try to accomplish in my learning. You get your chavrusa. You sit down like a mensch. The hachana's all there. And now you open your gemara. And now let's go. Amar Abaye. And things work out often. But then one asks themselves, when they go to yeshiva, and they're running late, they drop their kids off, they're now half hour late. And now, as they run in, they pour an instant coffee together. They use blue milk instead of red milk because they didn't have any time. Their chavrusa is sitting there, and the chavrusa is not happy with you as you come in. You still have a stomach ache from the amount of food that you ate the night before. And now you try to learn the Gemara. Your head's all over the place because you remember that you have to book a dentist appointment and finish up some banking details. And then, when the Gemara doesn't work, you say, Ech Geitnish, it's not working. The Gemara doesn't work. I'm not enjoying this. And you close the Gemara. You go home. Nothing happened. And very little amounts of progress was made in the Hasmada and Liman HaTaira. And why? Because there was no proper introduction. There were no hachana. There was not sufficient haschala. And looking at this concept from the bird's eye view, truthfully, an entire zman, a winter's man, an elul's man, a summer's man, is very much based on the first couple days and weeks of the zman, the way you kick it off. So there's the hachana, there's the preparation for the day one. The first week is the preparation for the three-month summer zman. And if you show up at your zman, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you get a good night's sleep before. You set up your coffees in the place where you're going to have your coffee. You make sure that you have your water bottles. You make sure that you're ready to go in your camp. You're ready to go in your business. You're ready to go in your zman and anything that it is that's going to be a lengthy undertaking. But you show up prepared? Don't you think you're going to have a better chance for success? And I'll prove this to you. Chazal tell us that kol ascholos kashos, all beginnings are hard. And don't you know that the Sinai Agadol, the Yetzirah, loves to destroy the spots in which things will sprout forth beautiful, spiritual, successful fruits? Don't you think he specifically picks on the beginning, on the Haskala, because it's the most important? That's why on day one of camps and yeshivas and businesses, it's so hard to get anything accomplished, because Haskala is the ikker. Step one is vital. This is the Chachma from Chazal, and this is what they're showing us. In that the son left all pampered on the steps of the Beis Hazoinus. That is exactly where we focus our attention on the Haskalah, and we care very little about even the sin of the Egel Hazav. V'dai Zahav. Too much money it was. Enough gold, Hashem. Therefore, forgive the Jewish people. And let's get into tefillah. For it's very apropos and fitting right now to discuss tefillah, because really you'll see that David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, and Anshe Knesset HaGedola actually refer to the Beis HaMikdash as Kihi Beisi Beis Tefillah. It is the house of prayer. It's the place in which we did karbonos, and now that we don't have karbonos, we have prayer instituted in place of the karbonos, but clearly karbonos is very interconnected with tefillah, and now that we've lost the Har HaBayis, we've lost the Beis HaMikdash, we've lost our temples, our holy edifices, well then, tefillah probably should be a focus in our Avodas Hashem. And when it comes to tefillah, don't you know the Gemara in Brachos on 6b? Kol ha-koyveya mokoyim l'tfiloso elekai Avraham be'ezro, that any individual who sets up a unique and special mokom kavua, a place that he will daven, every time that he goes to daven, a certain shtender, a table in the corner of the shul, a place that every day he comes to with proper preparation already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the God of Avraham will be there to help you, to aid you. The hachana for tefillah. Don't you know that the Mishnah tells us that there were certain pious individuals that spent an hour in hachana for tefillah? Hachana is everything. If you show up to shul, you're running 2 minutes late and you're in the way of being chapping a mincha, chapping a tefillah. Well, you can't really expect much for your tefillah not to go very well. But think about it. If you have a davening at 7 o'clock and I'm talking to myself, and you go and you have your coffee machine go off at 6:30, and then you prepare yourself, you get dressed, and then you show up a bit early, and you walk into shul, and you find your place, and you set up your tefillin, you set up your talis, and you stand there at your shtender, at your mokum kavua, ready for the chazan to begin, and now you are Hashem Safosai Tiftach Ufi Yageti Lasecha, and you're opening up your mouth and you're going to daven. All of this after this beautiful sing-song of Psukei DeZimra, of understanding the greatness, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his world. Don't you think that you're going to have a bit more kavana in your Shmona Esrei? And don't you think the haschala in your Shmona Esrei, that first bracha, is so important because of its haschala, because it's a beginning, the introduction, our first steps in our tefillah, is where the entire service of tefillah lies. It's rather simple. It's easy. Kviyas makom, giving yourself a makom kavua. You're already considered to have done something very special in the world of tefillah, because the God of Avraham is already on your team. And year after year, Rabbi Yerucham would bring this idea of that sins happen because it's Ma'yaseh HaBen, Shelo Yechta. What are we supposed to do? What is the child able to be blamed for? He was stuck. Everything is about this idea. Every single mitzvah. He would piece it together. One year we spoke about tzedakah, how you want to give more charity. Well, the haschala is overlooked. It's all about, you got to be a giver. You got to understand. You got to have a good heart for you to be able to give. You want to do mitzvahs? Well, that starts from before. The haschala is the lilmud, which ends up being the lasos later on. Everything has a step one that is overlooked. And one year, he then added to the concept. The great Miriam Mashkiach described how actually, even at a good haschala, somehow the entire action is already closed. With a good Kabbalah, with a real starting, a real Aschala, the entire action is as if finished. Because everything is only begeder ma yasa haben shelo yechta if you first have a proper haschala and a beautiful and successful start, or perhaps we'll say kickoff. This is it. This is the secret. If you want to have chachma, the Rambam told us, you can't skip the first step. You can't skip the haschala, the hachana. If you want to have a good zman, or at least even one good study session, you have to prepare for it. You can't overlook the coffee, the AC, the Gemara, the sitting down with a menschlichkeit. You want to have a good tefillah. You want to daven like a mensch. You can't skip the waking up early and the coming on time and the setting yourself up in your makom kavua prepared with a haschala to daven to Hashem. You want to give tzedakah. You have to become somebody that prepares properly and acquired a lev tov, a good and giving heart. This is it. You want to acquire a mitzvah. The most important thing is the haschalah, the rutz, the running, le mitzvah kala, run after every single mitzvah, because every action has an often overlooked most important step, and that's called the haschala, the beginning. This idea hopefully clarifies some things. It kind of also makes things a bit easier. We have a place to be able to focus our kochos, our strengths. And specifically in the realm of sins, I'd imagine that if somebody is caught up, ensnared in the trap of whatever it is that he can't break free of, the sin that he keeps falling prey to, his Achilles heel, so to speak. Well then, think about the haschala. Think about how you get involved in it. Don't think about the actual sin and necessarily taking steps to repent for it. Yes, we will do that. But how can you prevent it in the future? Think about when you go to that place, that leads to this, which leads to that. That's probably where Moshe Rabbeinu and Anshe Knesset HaGedolah and Chazal would have focused on. Because sins are together. Ma yaseh haben shelo yechta. Just because it seems to be prevalent, and this is what the Chazal and what the rabbis have told us is the issue of this generation and where we need to put significant effort in the sugya of technology. If a person should be trapped by the sins of the internet, the wasting of time, and the perverse behaviors on display, God forbid one should see that or be stuck in it. Well then, if you are someone that has downloaded on the phone, Snapchat, and Instagram, and Facebook, and WhatsApp, and this, and that, and it's impossible. It's my yaseh haben shel yechta. Then you're not working in the right avoda unless you're getting rid of the reasons of the dressing and the eating and the being left on the footsteps of the base of the harlots. It begins in the haschala. That's where we put our effort. That's where we steig. Moshe Rabbeinu, he chose to highlight this episode, Di Zahav, for a reason. Chazal have put a big spotlight on the idea and clarified why things happen and how we can help ourselves to literally become prophets and see the future and where our energy should be put. And the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, in Koheles, in Ecclesiastes, he declared that Toiv Acharis Dovar Mei Rishiso, that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. But in conclusion, the Satmar Rebbe, he told us that the Pasuk can be read and translated differently, and it really summarizes the entire idea. The Satmar Rebbe said, a toiv achris davar, the end of something succeeds. It is only good, may re she so, because of the beginning. When you prepare properly, when the first step, when the haschala is done with utmost care and caution and with a focus, and when you show up to yeshiva or to shul a couple minutes early, fully muchan umezuman to fulfill the mitzvah, and when you see and you go back and you understand, where is it that I have prepared myself to become trapped by the sins of the Yetzer Hara? Well then, remember, ma yasa ben shelo yecheta, and only anything ever succeeds at the end if you properly prepared. Haschalah, the beginning, is everything.